Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is The Journey of Virtual Music Therapy During COVID-19 and features Mandy Turk in an interview with Marcia Humpel.
Hello, I'm Marcia Humpel, the copy editor of the Imagine magazine. And I'd like to welcome Mandy Turk. I'd especially like to thank Mandy because she's a former student at Cleveland State, and I had the honor of being her practicum supervisor. So now she is doing some supervising for us too. So it's full circle. So welcome, Mandy. In this year's Imagine a podcast series, we would like to explore how your work with young children and their families is directly or indirectly changed as a result of the pandemic, what you've learned and experiences you've had. So Mandy, let's start with, can you tell us a little bit more about where you work and what's your role?
Of course. Well, I am the music therapist at Steps Academy, which is a non-public charter school in Parma, Ohio, that serves neurodiverse children and young adults ages 3 to 22. I also serve as a classroom mentor where I provide ongoing support and coaching to staff in the classroom.
Excellent. Do you work with any of the families too of these young children? Can you tell us a little bit about what other types of services you do in your role?
Sure. So I have contact with the families primarily through the intervention specialists in the classroom. So I'll attend the IEP meetings and discuss if these children are on my caseload, the ongoing progress that we see week to week throughout sessions. So I provide group music therapy and individual music therapy services to the students at Steps. Currently, I work with our preschool, primary, and elementary classrooms weekly, and our social emotional learning or SEL classroom daily. And then I'll pull some of those students individually for one-on-one sessions throughout the week.
Wow, that's impressive. How have these services changed though during the pandemic?
Oh goodness, well, we've been through quite a few changes during this time. So along with many others, we shut down in March completely and had to kind of figure out how do we service our children. And we started with a lot of paper materials, mailing things out with instructions for how parents or guardians could kind of run things to target some of the goals that they were working on with us when we were in school. And slowly we're able to start incorporating some more technology and recording videos and sending those out to the families to be able to follow along with and help assist their children with these as well. So I did a lot of collaboration with the intervention specialists in all of the classrooms to figure out how they were sending things out to families so it could just be a little more streamlined with everything going on. We have been able to return to in-person learning as of August, so that has been great. We still have some students who are joining us virtually. However, I think most of our students are back in person a full 5 days a week. Our administration, however, set up a cohort system throughout the building in order to reduce spread of the virus within our building and hopefully keep us from doing a full shutdown, which, knock on wood, we have been able to do up till this point. So for the cohorting, staff were assigned to specific classrooms to interact with those students and staff only in person. So I've been cohorting in our SEL classroom since I provide a daily music therapy group for them, and then providing the rest of my services virtually for the rest of those classrooms. Very recently, we've started to lift the cohort, and I've been able to pull some individuals for one-on-one in-person therapy.
A lot of changes you've had to adjust to.
Definitely.
let's focus back a little on what kind of adjustments the children and families had to make to learning virtually. From their point of view, how do you think the changes they made affected what service you were giving them? Or what they were receiving?
They've had to just adapt to so much. I mean, parents and caregivers and guardians have all had to take on this additional role of being the therapist or the teacher in those capacity when we couldn't be there in person. And thankfully we were able to transition to those recorded videos where now they can follow along and work with us on the goals that we're targeting with those children. When we came back to in person, it was then, you know, adjusting to, well, you're going to see us on a screen now instead of in person, and kind of attending to that screen. And initially we saw a decrease in engagement. It was a little difficult transitioning into this new virtual world. However, with the huge and wonderful support of the classroom staff, I think we've been able to really explore how we can actually increase engagement with the use of technology in the classrooms. And it's been wonderful to see how much progress they've still been able to make. I have to say now my favorite way of incorporating visuals into my sessions has to be using the smart board in the classrooms. The kids absolutely love it. The pictures are huge. They get to walk up to the smart board. They can touch the pictures. They can move things around. It's just been a new way of getting them to engage. And it's just been so wonderful to see.
Oh, that's really great, because it's always good to see a positive come out of such a negative experience, really. So if we'd have to look back, though, what would you say the very biggest challenge to you was in this whole system? It sounds like you did recorded sessions first, and then you went to virtual, to synchronous that way, right? Then you started. How long did you work with just the recorded and then go into the face-to-face virtually?
I say it'd have to have been a couple, maybe 2 to 3 months, because we shut down in March and we go through May with a short break, and we do provide a summer session. So I'd have to say probably 2 to 3 months with the recorded videos until we could come back in person, because technology and access to technology was a barrier, as well as time constraints for families. I mean, a ton of these parents are still working, so not always available during the school day or our typical school day was a challenge. So I'd have to say that the biggest challenge had to have been just technology issues in general, whether it's concern about the Wi-Fi going in and out or lack of the materials that we needed, however, couldn't get in time with all the shipping delays that we're also experiencing. So
yes. Yeah.
Definitely those are very good back and forth.
Definitely. Definitely. So you already commented a little on the benefits you've seen the using the smart board and things like that. Any other benefits that you felt just really jumped out to you that may affect your practice and your service delivery in the future?
Oh, definitely. I think a huge thing was just this new level of consistency for our students that we can provide with these videos, or even just having the virtual therapy. I think I've been out on quarantine maybe twice, and that's a whole 2 weeks, and I was still able to provide all the virtual sessions I would have if I was still at the school. So there was no lapse in service and really no deviation from our normal structure. When I'm out sick, however, and unable to provide that service even in a virtual format like that, I have set up a Google Classroom to hold the videos that I've recorded that are individualized to each of those classrooms. And they can pull those up during that time and still be able to participate in something music related for that week, for that time that we have scheduled, instead of just not doing it for the week.
That's a very innovative way to think about it too, to combine that. And because it's always an issue when you're in a school setting, because they do not get substitutes for music therapists very often, do they?
So
you have resources there. Have you spent any time therefore with coaching the teachers, coaching the paraprofessionals, coaching the families? Is that part of what you do when you make these recordings?
Yes, definitely. Coaching, as well as talking with them and getting feedback on what is best for their students or what they're engaging with the most, so that we can incorporate more of that into the session or anything like that. So really, it's been a wonderful team effort between everybody all just working together to figure out how can we make this the best service possible for our students.
Have you been using any specific resources or relying on any resources that you found during this time?
Oh, definitely. I think first and foremost for me, connecting with local music therapists has just been wonderful, whether it's, you know, discussing shared experiences or even working through technical issues that we're both experiencing or talking about a fix that they've discovered that I didn't even realize would be an issue down the road. So that's been extremely helpful, as well as actually some Facebook groups. There have been so many people posting links to additional resources or videos or even comments on the ongoing concern with aerosol spread when it comes to singing. So it's just been full of so much information.
Good, thanks for sharing those. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about any area of working with young children, any of the domains that we tend to work with young children, anything that you found particularly challenging during telehealth. Social interventions or fine motor or communication, has anything been an especially difficult challenge with any of those areas, or have you been pleased with how they have worked in telehealth?
I think in general, I've been very pleased with how things are going, but I also think that that has a lot to do with how supportive the staff are in the room to assist with those. I know because when you can't be in person, we're modeling everything virtually, but discussing with them how we can structure it to best support the students to use their devices or to communicate or pulling something up different on the smart board to get them more engaged. So overall, I think I've been very happy with how everything is going and just how much progress they're still able to make.
That's super. Your point about all the teamwork you experience is a point very well taken, because it's so necessary to work together on all these goals that so you can support the children in so many different ways, even more so when we're doing telehealth, perhaps, because we need the parents' involvement, of course, but you also need to all be on the same page. So maybe before we go, you can just give us some words of encouragement to live by, some words that you have, you can pass on to our listeners that have gotten you through this time and give you thoughts for a bright future ahead.
Oh, of course. So we all know that this pandemic has been difficult on everyone. We may not be going through the exact same struggles, but we all have our own battles. So I say keep being your creative selves, and I encourage you to reach out. Reach out when you need help. Reach out when you have help to give, and together we will get through this.
Very well stated. Thanks a lot, Mandy, for joining us and sharing all your experiences.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2021.